Abraham Maslow, in his Journals of Abraham Maslow, Rogers explains Marxism and psychology. Same did Maslow. Maslow writes, Marxist theory, and now we're talking society, needs Freudian-type instinct theory, and now we're talking man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure, in which, by the way, includes his lust for approval from others, affirming his lusts, and his natural inclination to hate restraint, to hate the father's authority for getting in the way. So continuing, Marxist theory, Maslow writes, needs Freudian-type instinct theory, and of course, vice versa. In other words, Freud needs Marx, and Marx needs Freud. Society needs the individual liberated from the father, and the individual liberated from the father needs society to be liberated from the father. There's an interconnection there. Again, it's stimulus response. Society is the environment out there that's going to stimulate a response. Maslow continues. Third, fourth psychology is also epi-Marxian in these senses, that it includes the most basic scheme of good, true social conditions. What are the good social conditions? Now, this is the Protestant Reformation rejected Aristotle. That's what Luther was writing about, because the church had gone to create a healthy environment, create a healthy person. No, there is no healthy environment since the garden, and there is no healthy person. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it's only a work of God. There's nothing in the creation can make man good. Nothing. So there is no good social condition to make man good. But they reject that because it's just stimulus response. So if you create this good social condition, which is a liberation of self or lust from the Father's authority, it's this basic scheme as true good social conditions are necessary for personal growth. So your child can only become himself if he goes into the garden and sins again. That's the only way he can become a good person in the eyes of the world. Bad social conditions, Maslow writes, stunts human growth. What's the bad social condition? Submission of self to the Father's authority. Then he continues, this is to say one could reinterpret Marx into a self-actualization fostering third and fourth force psychology philosophy. And my impression, this was back in the 50s, and my impression is anyway, that is the direction in which they are going now, because dialogue has replaced discussion in the classroom. Because the traditional teachers are replaced by a facilitator of change. All teachers grounded in Bloom's taxonomy are doing Marxism. The moment you get those children to share how they feel and what they think in regards to behavior, you have usurped the father's authority system. It's a wicked system. It's in rejection of the father's authority. No other purpose. Jürgen Habermas, in the idea of theory of knowledge as social theory, he writes, in the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself, in other words, one's lust, and the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. So it's in this dialogue, the kids together going, I feel and I think about social issues, personal issues, they find what they have in common, and that's their lust for pleasure and resentment towards restraint. That's the glue. Lust is the glue. Resentment is the glue that holds the group together. Romans, Paul writes on chapter 7, verse 7, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. See, you have to be told. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, the law said, the Father said, thou shalt not covet. And this is the power of this whole thing. As a facilitator of change, I bring your child, your legislator, it doesn't matter, whoever, your judges, your spouse, your ministers, anyone who comes into this room and dialogues to consensus, the moment they dialogue, it's their, I feel, I think, I oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, it's their lusts. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, He writes, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. All I have to do is find out what you lust, offer to help you solve it, offer to help you satisfy it, and I own you. All the devil had to do was find out what the woman was lusting after, offer to help her, you know, we'll just remove the restraint and allow you to discover for yourself." He owned her. The moment your legislator gets in a subcommittee or goes off to a retreat and he shares in dialogue how he feels and what he thinks, you know, what he's lusting after, and offer to help him to achieve it, a better house, a better this, a better, 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 better. And I own him. There's nothing wrong with having a better house, but you better do it doing right and not wrong. You better not abandon your constituents' principles. You better not usurp the law. You better not overcome the restraints that restrain you from office. This is the key. Once you get your legislator to compromise for the sake of whatever, what can I get out of this situation for myself? He's owned. He's no longer representing you. That's why Washington is the way it is. That's why your capitals all across the nation are the way they are. And so God warns us. This is half of a verse. Through covetousness, through finding out what you lust, your legislator lust, your child lust, whoever it is, lust, with feigned words, that's plastic words. See, in the Greek, it's plastic, it's moldable. It means two things, forked tongue. Well, I'm here to help you. No, I'm here to help myself. But I'm not going to tell you that. I'm here to help you. And the moment you accept my help, Reagan, President Reagan said, the eight most dangerous words you can hear is, we're from the government. We're here to help. See, that was the Tower of Babel. If we all work together and build this tower, we can all stay together. We'll be safe. God said, go scatter. Farmers got subsidy from the government. The government owned them. Oh, it's for the common good. Yeah. But you remove the risk. See, you went around what God said, and you turned to man for the solution. And so Rogers makes this very clear. This is damnable material. This is in your face in his book on becoming a person. He writes, if we have the power or authority to establish the necessary conditions, in other words, move from discussion to dialogue, the predicted behaviors, now he said this earlier, I'm just going to put it in here, our potential ability to influence and control the behavior of groups will follow. If we can set up the conditions, we control the outcome. See, it's stimulus response. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people. This is his words now. This is the consensus process. This is that group grade in the classroom. This is the bipartisanship that's going on in government, with your police, with the medical. Everywhere you turn, this is the process. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. We know how to change the opinions of an individual in a selected direction without his ever becoming aware of the stimuli which changed his position. We know how to influence the behavior of individuals by setting up conditions which provide satisfaction for needs of which they are unconscious, but by which we have been able to determine. We can achieve a sort of control under which the control, though they are following a code much more scrupulously than ever was the case under the old system. See, under the old system, you had the guilty conscience. You didn't have to have a bunch of rules and regulations. Boy, how many rules do we have now? Nevertheless, they feel free. Why? They're doing what they want to do, not what they're forced to do. By a careful design, we control not the final behavior. See, we're not telling them what they can or can't do, but the inclination to behavior. In other words, we control the environment. We get rid of the negative. We focus on the positive, and we own them. By the inclination of behavior, the motives, the desires, the wishes, the curious thing in that case, the question of freedom never arises. They're not free. A drug addict is never free, even though he's addicted to the drug and he lives for the drug and he will die for the drug. That's his life, is the drug. If your life is a dopamine And you think, well, I can go out and do whatever I want. You're not free. Whatever you own owns you. Realize that? You know, whatever you make as your agenda to have, you have to maintain. It owns you. David rescued himself from this. People say, well, what solution? He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In other words, when you go to the dialogue, oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, I feel, I think, you go to discussion. Dad says, thy word, what dad says, I've hid in my heart. Without that, all you have is a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Martin Luther understood this process. And he wrote, he says, now he called it dialectical fantasies. Now, it wasn't as sophisticated as it is now, but it was still there. It's from the garden on, nothing new under the sun. He wrote, I greatly fear that the universities. Now, let me back up. Jacob's work done in the 40s, that Bloom's taxonomy, all teachers are certified off of Bloom's taxonomy, was a result of. And it was how to change the morals of the students in the universities. How to change universities so that the wickedness of man's heart could be liberated, that man could be liberated from God and from parents and from traditional society, so the Marxists could control society. And they had to undo what Luther was talking about, because he wrote, I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are white gates to hell. I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's Word, not men's opinion of it, but God's Word, become corrupt. Well, we certainly lost that somewhere down the road. Bloom's taxonomies, the cognitive domain goes like this: knowing, comprehending, application, analysis, synthesis, evaluation. Every teacher learns those. Those are the steps. Well, here's the difference. The knowing is you either start with what the father says, or you start with the child's self-interest, his sense experience. See, and the moment you go to the affective domain, guess where you've gone? It's Pandora's box. Dad's out. While traditional education makes knowing, in caps, being told, old school, you're told. Comprehending then is, you better do what I just told you or else, right? You better obey or else. You better get the assignment done or else. And so that's comprehending. There's a consequence for not learning what you've been told. That's this old school. Now, when you disobey, in other words, you do the application, your analysis is, as the father's taking you to the woodshed, that you had better do what you're told. That's old school. And you go back to the father's authority. But Bloom changes all that. Now you get them in a group. But the moment you get to the dialogue and opinions to a consensus, there's no father's authority. There's no woodshed. It's a rejection by the group. It's not your desire is approval of the group, not of the father. Now, Bloom makes the child, the student's lust for pleasure and resentment or hatred towards restraint, the knowing, that which he had in the past, the foundation from which to evaluate the present. In other words, his resentment to the father when he was a child is the same resentment he has towards any government leader that tells him what he can or cannot do. This negates a father's authority or being told in the process. That's what Bloom's taxonomy is all about. It's a wicked system. Bloom, in the first taxonomy, dedicated to Ralph Tyler, he writes, and Ralph Tyler was advisor to six of our U.S. presidents. He was a communist. It's all couched in this nebulous language that, you know, it's hard to pin down, but it's there, the structure. Once you understand the structure, it doesn't matter. You can throw any name you want on it. A rose is a rose, no matter what name you give it. See, it's the same procedure. See, the Soviet was a diverse group of people dialoguing to consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting to a predetermined outcome. What's that? No decision, rule, or policy be made without a diverse group of people dialoguing their opinions to a consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting to a predetermined outcome. Over and over and over and over again. That's a Soviet. Bloom's taxonomy, diverse group of students dialoguing their opinions to a consensus over social issues in a predetermined to a predetermined outcome. Over and over and over. It's the same. And so Bloom, in his first taxonomy, cognitive domain, and we thought, well, that's facts. You know, that's no, it's, here's what he writes. We recognize the point of view, in other words, we're going to let come through the door, that truth and knowledge are only relative. Truth and knowledge are only relative. And that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all times and all places. Wow. In the book, every teacher in your community trained off of this procedure from this book, they may not read it, but they've been. This is Liberty University. This is Oral Roberts University. Faculty are required to use Bloom's taxonomy as their source for curriculum. This is in the book. We recognize the point of view. We recognize Karl Marx, that truth and knowledge are only relative. We recognize the serpent in the garden, that truth and knowledge are only relative. There are no hard and fast truths which exist for all times and all places. Well, Frederick Engels, paraphrasing Karl Marx, he writes, in the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, in the dialogue, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. So if you get your children, your legislator, your teachers, your spouse, you in a room dialoguing your opinion to a consensus, there is nothing absolute. There is nothing sacred. Nothing is established for all times. There is no God. You and everyone else in the room is God. And then the second taxonomy. This is done by David Crathwell. Benjamin Bloom is one of the authors. Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain, Feelings Domain. He writes, on page 166, I believe, he uses the word Weltanschauung. It's the German word for worldview. He says, our worldview, our foundation for curriculum, what every teacher has to apply in the classroom, what every teacher has to learn. And he gives us reference of this Weltanschauung by two men. And so you go to the bottom of the page and you find their reference. Who are they? Erich Fromm and his book Escape from Freedom, 1941. And Theodor Adorno and his book The Authoritarian Personality, 1950. So these are both Marxists, by the way. Full-blown transformational Marxists, members of the Frankfurt School. Erich Fromm writes, Escape from Freedom, we are proud. Now, your teacher down there in the school, this is not only in a public school, it's a private school, parochial school, Christian school, even homeschooling material. I've seen it. Using Bloom's taxonomy as their structure, as their curriculum to develop the material in your home. Built off of this man, Erich Fromm. Here's what Fromm writes. We are proud in his conduct of life. Man has become free from external authorities, which tell him what to do and what not to do. All that matters is that the opportunity for genuine activity be restored to the individual, that the purpose of society and of his own become identical. And that, what's that? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, not of the Father, but of the world. That he says, to give up God, let me state again, to give up God, get rid of the Father. Dialogue, there is no God. Dialogue, there is no Father. In opinion, there is no God. In opinion, there is no Father. In the consensus process, there is no God. In the consensus process, there is no Father. You're God. The group is God. It's God becoming. It's Gnostic. The divine sparks coming together through reasoning. Dialogue, dialectic reasoning. And so he says, to give up God and to establish a concept of man as being a being, as man as a being, who can feel at home in it, in the world, if he achieves union with his fellow man and with nature. In other words, with his and others' carnal nature and the world that stimulates it, stimulus response. Bloom says that's his worldview, that taxonomy. And teachers, there are teachers out there, call themselves Christians, will defend it to the death. And it's simply the process that Satan used on the woman and Adam in the garden. Same procedure. Now, Adorno writes, authoritarian submission. And I've already explained it, but here it is. These are my words. Humbling, denying, dying to, controlling, disciplining, capitulating yourself in order to do the Father's will. That's authoritarian submission. It's Jesus doing the Father's will. What my Father commands, that's what I do. So authoritarian submission, Adorno writes, was conceived of as a very general attitude that would be evoked in a relation to a variety of authority figures, parents, older people, leaders, supernatural power, and so forth. Remember, Marx says the child creates the father by submitting to him. So here's how he words it. This is how Adorno words it. God is conceived. See, he's given birth more directly after a parental image. This is Marxist, see. Where do we get religion? The father's authority in the home. God destroyed the father. How do you destroy the father's authority in the home? Dialogue. When it comes to behavior, dialogue. What's counseling? What's psychology? Dialogue. How do you feel? How'd you feel when so-and-so said or did? What do you think? You know, that's all the devil did with the woman in the garden. I keep saying it over. I mean, 2 plus 2 is 4 and cannot be any other number. How many different ways can you apply it? It's the same formula. And he writes, God is conceived more directly after a parental image and thus as a source of support and as a guiding and sometimes punishing authority. There you go. Then he writes, submission to authority, desire for a strong leader, subservience of the individual to the state. In other words, parental authority, local control, nationalism. Now they generalize. This goes back to the Holy Family by Marx. He takes fruit trees. He takes all these fruit trees and he says, let's all find what we have in common with the trees, okay? What do all the fruit trees have in common? They lose their leaves when it gets cold, okay? But if you have an orchard, you know what? Yeah, there's fall and there, but trees are different. Fruit trees are different. If you generalize and treat all the trees the same way, you're going to lose a lot of your trees. Every tree is unique. This is a medical profession. It's just one shoe fits all. We're all different. We're more complex. And so they generalize. And so they throw everything in the pot. You know, if you have to submit to a higher authority, and this is where he's going, you're submitting to Hitler. That's it. These guys came from fascist Germany and said it was a traditional home. No, Hitler destroyed the traditional home. Hitler used the group. Anybody who uses the group, Catholic Church, use the group. You destroy the father's authority in home. You destroy the father's authority in heaven. You put a man between you and God. See, no one has come between the father and his children. But you put somebody, the psychiatrist, between the father and the children. You put a man between man and God. No, priest of all believers. No one between you and God. Open up his word. Holy Spirit will work to and through you. In agreement with the word, not the opinion is a man. You don't put any man between you and God. That's just an opinion. You don't that. But see, they generalize. And so therefore, all parents are potential fascists. Backing up. God, he says, is conceived more directly after a parental image and thus as a source of support and as a guiding and sometimes punishing authority. Submission to authority, desire for a strong leader, subservience of the individual to the state, and so forth, have so frequently and as it seems to us correctly been set forth as an important aspects of the Nazi creed that a source for correlates of prejudice had naturally to take these attitudes into account. Family relationships, he writes, are characterized by fearful subservience to the demands of the parents, i.e. to God, and by an early suppression of impulses not acceptable to them. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother, and their relative dominance in specific areas of life also seemed of importance to our problem. What's the problem? Worldly peace and socialist harmony. It's being prevented because of the father's authority. Now, Bloom writes in regards to the affective domain in his taxonomy. The affective domain, this feelings, the heart, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? He writes, the affective domain is in retrospect a virtual Pandora's box. It's in the book. By the way, they don't want the teachers to read that in undergraduate. It's too complex. No, they don't want you. They actually knew the teachers would read it and go, well, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this. In fact, 40 years later, Bloom writes, it didn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not true science. You know, it's not stimulus response. We have to have a facilitator. It will not work without somebody manipulating. You always have to have the manipulator. Because we all go back to accountability, to a higher authority. Well, what's Pandora's box? It's a box full of evils. Once you open it, you can't close it. And he says, this taxonomy, your child sits in a classroom. Every child in this nation sits in a classroom with the teachers having to use Bloom's taxonomy as a curriculum. They have to open a Pandora's box, that wicked box of the heart. And once you open it, you can't close it. You got what restrains it? It's the parent's authority. It's a father's authority. And so once you go to dialogue, you've removed it. You've opened a Pandora's box, and you'll never recover. He writes, it is in this box that the most influential controls are to be found. You bet. The devil knew that in the garden. He writes, in fact, a large part of what we call good teaching, quote unquote, is the teacher's ability to attain effective objectives. What's that? Getting the child's feelings, get them to dialogue, their opinions, to a consensus, through challenging the student's fixed beliefs. Have you ever been told to do something you didn't want to do? How'd you feel? What do you think? Wow. Who gave an educator the right to do that? Well, they're all trained to do it. Some don't. Most do. Got to do my job or I'll get fired. We fought a war over people who said that. Leave the conscience out.